right, so last week, how many of you were here last week? How many listened to the message online, or we lost the audio, there's not a podcast? I want to encourage you, if you did not hear the message last week, I really want to challenge you to go back and listen to it. It was very, for me, it was a very heartfelt thing and very important. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen to that, where I talked about having vision, being able to see what it is that God is doing. And we started with this verse. Jesus said to his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, workers. It was Labor Day last weekend. How many of you labored all Labor Day? I know some of you did. By the way, do you feel like you've been smoking cigarettes every day? Last few days, I'm like, ugh. So if I lose my voice, it's, you know, or if I get that cool smoker voice where I'm talking like this, it's because of the weather out there. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and I had to ask myself, where are the laborers? Why is this an issue that there aren't laborers in the field? And one of the key ideas that Jesus addresses is that they don't see it. In John chapter 4, he says, do you not say that there's yet 4 months until the harvest? In other words, they're looking at this harvest and they're saying, it's going to be a while. But Jesus challenges them and says, look. In other words, adjust your eyesight. See a different way. See through the eyes of Jesus. Do you see that there is a harvest out there, a kingdom that God is building, and people that are ready to come into that kingdom? And even once they're in the kingdom, like you are, there is action that needs to take place. There's development, there's investment, there's exchange that goes on, where we learn together, we grow together, we build relationship, we go through the hard times together, we celebrate together. There's this whole idea of this kingdom, this harvest, all these people that Jesus is bringing in. He's saying, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. Change your point of view. And that was what the message was about last week. And as I was thinking on these things, I'm realizing that they're not going into the harvest. They don't have passion for it. They're not out there working. Why aren't they? Because they don't see it. And so this all begins with the concept of having vision, being able to see, because vision will stir your passion. And we talked a little bit about Oscar Schindler and how once he saw the atrocities being done to the Jews, it changed his vision. He didn't realize that was happening, but once he saw it, his passion ignited. And once you have passion for something, you have a tendency to do it, good or bad, by the way, good or bad. When our passion begins to grow, we can't help but take action based on that passion. It's why it's so important to guard your thoughts. Because the more you imagine something, the more you visualize it, the more you entertain unhealthy thoughts, the more likely it is you're going to do it, because it stirs your passion. You want to take action on your passions, but it all begins with having right vision. And that's what I want to talk to you more about today. Vision is necessary. So let's just pause for a second. In your own mind right now, ask yourself this question: do I have vision for anything? Can I see or foresee anything? Whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, your business, your workplace, your church, your gifting or ministry that you're involved with, do you have vision for anything? Think about it. Because it's very, very important that you have vision. And we looked at this passage, where there is no prophetic vision, in other words, where there's no God vision, God direction, where there's no inspiration or leadership from God himself, people cast off restraint. What does it mean to cast off restraint? Like lose control. There's a reason I put my dogs on a leash when we go for a walk. They need restraint. They need direction. If I unhook them from the leash, what happens? Chaos. And you're chasing after them and they go wherever. It's like, it reminds me of the book of Judges when it says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Kind of sounds like the culture I live in. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. There is no God vision, it's just my vision. Whatever I think, whatever my opinion is, that's the truth. That's my truth. And so we make truth relative to ourselves, not keeping it in the confines and the safe, straight alignment with God that we're called to. So we do what's right in our own eyes when we don't allow God to steer our vision. And how many of you know that's a recipe for disaster? I shared my own story last week that I'm a bad navigator. I don't make a very good God. I tend to lead myself in pretty poor direction. And hopefully you have your own story. I know you do. Everybody does. Of where we lead ourselves when we come out from under God and we do our own thing. We form our own vision. We're going to do it our way. But it leads to brokenness and chaos. Do you have vision? You got vision? Got milk? Remember that? Got vision? Okay, what is it? Is it submitted to God? Is it submitted to his community? In his church? Is it submitted to his word? Or is it just something we do all on our own? I want to talk in two different ways today. I want to talk about having personal vision, and I want to talk about having corporate vision. Because as individuals, we have vision for things, and we pursue things, but also groups of people have vision and pursue things, and we want to make sure that we're in alignment with God himself. Vision fuels passion. Passion leads to action. If we want to be a group of people that's out in the harvest, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, move the needle? You know what that means? Okay, I'm going to describe it to you since you don't seem to know. Remember the Richter scale? Seismograph? You know, when there's an earthquake somewhere, I don't know where, there's a needle. And it moves. And when the magnitude of the earthquake is big, it shakes things. There's a rumble. And the needle goes, and it scribbles on the paper. And however big the scribble is how big the earthquake is. It's the magnitude. That's how we measure an earthquake. Do you know that the kingdom of God is meant to move the needle in Helena, Montana? Shake it. Move it. Shift the atmosphere. Shift the attitude. Bring the gospel to the people. Add to the community of Christ. Make disciples. When disciples are made, the community can't help but change. It's so awesome what God is doing. It doesn't make sense. He takes these little broken, cracked up jars of clay that you and I are, and he puts a treasure in them. And he goes, I'm going to use these broken people to move the needle. I'm going to shake things up. I'm going to bring life. I'm going to bring hope. I'm going to bring healing. I'm going to bring truth, and I'm going to do it through broken people. And you go, wow, God, that's a crazy idea. I'm glad that's your idea, though. I'm glad to be a part of it, aren't you? But do you have vision for it? Do you see it? Once you see, it's hard to unsee. Think about personal vision. One of the most significant illustrations of vision that was very dominant in my home when my children were younger is my girls can foresee their wedding day. Don't little girls do this sometimes? They can see it in detail. How many girls, okay, girls, unmarried women, can you kind of visualize what your wedding's gonna be like? In fact, just the other day, my young adult daughters are talking, I'm gonna have this color and I'm gonna have that color and I get mom's dress. No, I get mom's dress and blah, 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 those kinds of things, right? They can visualize it. Their vision then starts to stir their passion. And boy, when the day comes, don't get in the way. They want to go for that vision. They've been dreaming about that their whole lives. They've been visualizing. I know not all of them do, but a lot of them do. They can visualize it, and their passion grows for it. And they start. And when the time comes, they take action based on this vision they've been ruminating on their entire lives. Boys, Think about a young adult pursuing a career. It's a stressful time. You don't want to make a mistake. You're trying to visualize whether you can see yourself in this or that career. And it kind of be scary to put yourself on course because, boy, I don't want to screw up my whole rest of my life. Because that's how they think, right? Young adults, can I just tell you that most people change their career multiple times in their lifetime? Some of us barely got out of high school. we're okay. Trust God. He'll lead you and guide you. But they start to have vision for something, or sometimes they, like my wife was just an unusual person that from the time she was a little kid, she wanted to be a nurse. That never changed. She held that vision her whole life. She went to college for it. It's what she does even to this day. So she had a vision and she went there. But think about that, having vision for your career as a young adult, or if you're in your midlife crisis too, having vision for your career for the rest of your adult life. Got a vision for it. Once you see, it's hard to unsee. When Oskar Schindler saw all those Jews being slaughtered, he could not unsee it anymore. And I told you the story when I was a young adult. When I caught passion for the kingdom here in Helena, I can't unsee it now. I can't unsee it. Do you have some things you can't unsee about the kingdom of God and about your part in it? If you can't or if you don't, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Ask God. Help me see with your eyes, whether it be for my personal life or whether it be for the group, my family, or a group that I'm a part of. And hey, I'm praying this all the time for the church. God, what's your vision for Mount Helena Community Church? What do you want me to do next? What do I need to know and what do I need to do? I'm praying to God for vision. Think of an artist visualizing what they're going to create. They picture it. They can see it in their mind's eye. What do you see in your mind's eye about your future or the future of the body of Christ or the future of the community or your business? What can you foresee? Think on those things. If it's not of God, throw it away. Or maybe a builder who builds a house, they can picture the framing and the foundation and all the things. It's part of the story of the house we live in today. I kept showing my wife pictures of it. She's like, no way, no way, no way. But I kind of like to tear stuff apart and make it different. And I could see what we could do with the house. Had vision for it. It's important to have vision. Vision is not an option. I don't know if this is originally from Dave Ramsey, but I sure heard it from him a lot. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. In other words, if you don't see it and don't bother trying to see it, you're not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. You're just moving in some random direction of whatever happens to you. We've got to realize both personally and corporately that we can't stay where we are. You can't stay where you are. Vision won't let you. If you stay where you are, you become stagnant. God causes us to change. He's always transforming. He's always leading. He's always growing us and the body of Christ. If you look back on a year of your life and say nothing changed, I want to dare you to ask God about that. You can't stay where you are. Sometimes God will make you so uncomfortable where you are, you have to change. You become so unhappy and so unsettled. And all of a sudden one day you go, wait, that's God. He doesn't want me to stay where I'm at. He wants me to keep moving in his plans and his purpose. We've got to have vision. We have to have vision as a community, and we have to have vision as individuals. But I want to talk about one of the major pitfalls in the area of vision, whether it be as an individual or as a group. I want to talk about one of the major traps in it. And one of the things that, there's probably a lot of reasons why, but it seems that the mode of thinking in our society promotes selfishness. All things self. I am God. My vision's the most important vision. My opinion's the most important opinion. What happens to the community, I'm not responsible for. I'm only responsible for me and what I want. And so we say these things like, you're master of your destiny, right? I understand the heart behind that, meaning that you can do something about your life. Yes, you can. But let's not give ourselves too much credit. I think most of us understand that if it's all up to me, we're in big trouble. It takes community, but more than that, it takes vision from the Lord. It takes the leadership of the Lord in our lives. It takes letting go of our own vision and submitting it to Him. Laying down our selfish ambitions and giving it up to Him. See, when we have misguided vision, it leads to misguided passion. Or ambition might be another way to say that. Misguided ambition. But the Bible teaches us, Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do some things from selfish ambition. Sorry, that's not what it says. Do everything for yourself. Or, correct answer, do nothing. Nothing. Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. From the position that it's all about me and I'm right. Now we need to be, there is a certain amount of self that is healthy. You have a survival instinct for a reason. You have a conscience for a reason. You are responsible for yourself. You give account for yourself before God. You need to have vision for yourself. So there's a healthy side to self. You need to take days off and rest. But you need to go to work too. Those are both healthy for you. You need to exercise and eat right. But maybe it's okay to have a piece of cake once in a while too. Right? We have to be aware of ourselves and lead ourselves well. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a fine line where that bleeds over into what we'd say is selfish. This is about me and what I want, and now it's starting to cost other people because I want it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This could be one of the most difficult verses in the Bible. And also maybe one of the most powerful when it comes to your relationships. It's a key to making marriage work right here. You young people that can visualize yourself being married, and you can visualize your wedding day, and you can visualize that you and your husband will never have a fight the whole time. You can just see it now. It's gonna be beautiful. We'll talk about that when you get there. But in reality, this is how we have to approach our relationships. I have to make myself lower. Not higher, lower. Come under and serve. Come under and be humble. Spiritual warfare is so much like this. We don't overcome the principalities and powers by macho attitude. Or by self-authorized things, we do it by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God and calling out to Him for the authority to change things in the Spirit. Humility is the key to all kinds of things when it comes to our relationships and our walk with Christ. Submission to Christ, submission to one another, submission to our spouses. Now, some people don't like the word submission because they picture like a slavery mode, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. But it's a humbling yourself and giving preference to the other person. That's really what love is, giving preference. Do you prefer others above yourself? So when you're pursuing your vision, or you think your church should be pursuing a vision, or you think your boss or the business you work for, or any of those kind of things, my needs are the most important. My opinion's the most important. My vision should trump the vision of the person who's responsible. That's not how the kingdom works. If we want relationships and vision to work and progress, and if we want to move the needle in Helena, Montana and the surrounding region, if we want to see God using us to move in power, we have to learn how to humble ourselves and come under and serve one another. And in humility, count others better than ourselves. But if we're on an agenda to see our expectations met with selfish ambition and conceit because we're right, we're never going to get there. So when our vision is driven totally by selfishness, that's a vision that just leads to chaos and destruction. It's something that has to be submitted and approach with humility. There's kind of a popular word that likes to get thrown around lately, I've noticed, particularly in accusation. That person is such a narcissist. When you really get mad, you're such a narcissist. How many of you know what a narcissist is? Okay, we're going to talk about this a little bit. Christian narcissism. Is that a word? Well, it is now. I make up words for those of you that are guests. That's a new one right there. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So here's the idea. Let's come back to ground zero. Vision leads to passion. Passion leads to action. We have to look at our vision and ask ourselves, is it selfish or is it in alignment with what God is calling me to do and be? Is it in alignment with where God has me in terms of church community? Is it where I'm at in terms of family? Because we know that when the ambition becomes selfish and people become self-focused, the Bible tells us right here, there will be disorder and every vile practice. All about me. It's all about me. Some of you have heard this joke before, but there used to be a worship song. I think it was a Matt Redman song, maybe. Nick, you'd remember. It's all about you. And then we changed the lyrics. It's all about me. As if you should do things my way. I alone am God. We do that. We put ourselves in that position. We become narcissistic. What does it mean to be a narcissist? Well, a narcissist is somebody who, in an extreme way, if it's like on the edge of diagnosable, it's this idea that everything really is about them. Now, sometimes we feel like I'm the main character of my story. Well, you are. You're responsible for yourself and you need to guide yourself. You can't pretend you don't exist, all right? That's not helpful. But narcissism is the idea that every conversation you have, you're going to turn back to yourself. You ever have to visit with somebody like that? Don't nudge your neighbor. Don't look around the room. We all know what that feels like. When you sit there and visit with someone and they don't really care about what you think or feel, they want to turn the conversation back to themselves. Always trying to one-up the story. Always having a lack of empathy, lack of curiosity, don't care that much about how you feel. Or even when they ask you a question, they twist the conversation around to still be about themselves. That's narcissism. Self-absorption. Groups can be that way too. Elitist, entitled, envious, and competitive. Vision doesn't work when this is a part of the equation. And certainly we're not going out into the harvest to reap a great harvest when there's this kind of attitude. It's not going to happen. God wants us to lay those things down. When vision doesn't align, here's the thing. Sometimes I have to do what Janie wants to do. Janie's not here today. I have to humble my vision. Okay, let's be honest. All the time I have to do what Janie wants to do, right? Because I have vision how this camping trip's gonna go, but she also has vision about how this camping trip's gonna go. And it's not gonna go well if I get selfish about how it's gonna go. And enforce my own way. I'm out of alignment. We have to bring the vision into alignment with one another. Otherwise, we're both pulling different directions. Jason, would you come up here for a second? This is totally random. You're God, okay?
Not okay.
No, I know. We can pretend though. This is just a thing. Okay, if Jason is God, he wants to lead me that way. He grabs me by my hand and he leads me that way. Go ahead and lead me. Because I'm in alignment with him, right? Come on, JR, we're going this way together. We're in alignment. But so often we do this. Okay, come here, Jason. Now try and lead me that way this time. But I want to go this way. It's not my vision. I'm not. And Jason's tougher than I, just like God, so he can move me if he has to. But when we don't submit our vision to come into alignment with one another or with God, we're not going anywhere. Vision will shape your culture. I like the culture here at Mount Helena, most of the time. I like the attitude. I like the community. We have values that we talk about when it comes to culture, values like authenticity. I feel like, for the most part, we're an authentic group. I like that. I want to keep working on that. If we all have that in mind and we're working towards that, we can do that. I like generosity. I want to be a generous group. And when we all have vision for that and we're in alignment with it, we can get there. But if two people are pulling against each other with separate visions, the culture gets toxic. We're fighting for different things. Those of you that were in the military, I mean, you would just could just imagine what it would be like if all the troops decide they're going to do their own thing, which maybe they do sometimes. I don't know. It ain't going to go good. Or someone goes rogue. That sergeant's an idiot. Give me my gun. I'm going to go take care of this. I mean, they make movies like that, but that's not reality, right? Corey, did you ever see that anytime in the military? Never mind. Story for later. When vision doesn't align, here's the thing. I see this all the time in the church world. I see it in relationships. If you think about it, you see it frequently. It's like, hey, let's do this thing together. Yeah, let's do this thing together. And so, you know, someone's responsible. Someone has authority. Someone's the one responsible for the vision. I'm responsible for the vision and direction of this church. And the elders partner with me in that. But ultimately, that's my responsibility, is to set the vision and direction. Now, here's what happens, though. It's like, if you don't do what I want, I'm taking my ball and going home. You know, you go down to the local basketball court, and you want to play hoops with the guys, but they don't want to play the same way you want to play, and you just get mad and go home. My way. If I can't have it my way, I'm not doing it. Absolutely selfish. And it destroys vision. But God didn't call us to that. He called us to submit. So sometimes Jenny goes with what I want. Sometimes I go with what she wants. Sometimes we kind of humble ourselves and we come under and we do it. Because there's an understanding that there's something more important than my opinion at work or my vision. And it's true with God. You know, I wanted to play for the Boston Celtics. You can laugh, it's okay, because it's funny. Can you imagine? Well, I still could imagine. I still can visualize playing for the Boston Celtics. I'm not joking when I tell you, I have dreams, I am playing with the Boston Celtics, and I can dunk like Jordan in those dreams. So we can visualize these things, but I talked about with the drums last week, we can visualize things, but there are just some things that we have to stop and go, that sounds awesome, but that's not what the one in authority over me is pointing me towards. I have to let it go and submit my vision to him. Do you have vision? Is it submitted to the Lord? Are you following the steps that he's leading you on? Can you see it? Like Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Maybe you just haven't even thought about it. Think about it. Take the time, the quiet time, to pray and ask God, God, where's the vision here? We talk about something in the ministry world. It's called heart for the house. Some of the guys in our ministry circle, that's a word. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But one of the most important things about developing leaders is you develop leaders out of people that have a heart for the house, which means they have a heart for the success of this family, the growth and development of the family, that people are learning to find and follow Christ. What's the ultimate vision that Jesus gave the church? Make disciples. Every single church needs to run their vision through that command. Are we making disciples? Are people finding and following Jesus? Now, you could go a lot of different directions with how you think about that, but at the end of the day, that's the vision he gave the church. If we're not making disciples, we're not fulfilling the vision. I don't want to do that. I want to be in alignment with his vision. What does it take to do that? Having a heart for the house means you have a heart for your own family. You have a heart to play a part. But there's this thing that seems to have worked its way into the Christian mind, and I've talked a little bit about this, that it's like the most important thing is for me to be right. My theology needs to be perfect. My doctrine needs to be perfect. Whatever translation of the Bible I use has to be perfect, and you better come into alignment with my understanding or you're wrong. And we can't even be friends. That's why we have so many denominations. Some of the nuanced differences cause division, but that's not the heart of God. I don't see that anywhere. How many times does Paul beg the churches to be unified despite their differences? But somehow this creepy little evil thing comes in our minds and says, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I know more. I'm right. And if you don't do what I think, I'm taking my ball and going home. Or I'm going to go down the road to the next church. Or I'm not going to go to church at all. And we forsake the bigger picture of what God has designed for our own motivations. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You know what that feels like? You ever had your passions at war within you? You know, you ever? I know you do. You have lots of feelings and you have lots of thoughts, and sometimes there's boom, it's explosive inside. And sometimes you got to dig in there and go, what's causing this chaos in my own heart and mind? It's my passions at war. Why am I fighting with my brothers and sisters? Why am I accusational? Why am I promoting disunity or causing chaos in the community? There's something in me that's unsettled and I'm angry about it, or I'm frustrated, or I want my way. The leadership's not doing what I want. They can't see it. I can see it. They must be wrong because I'm right, of course. But this is not how God's kingdom works. What do these aren't my words. These are the words of God to his people to instruct them in their relationships and how they manage their lives and where he wants his kingdom to go. We have to lay down the selfish vision. I have to lay down the selfish vision. The things in me that are not of God, that only promote myself, I have to lay them down. I can tell you very clearly, okay, I've been leading here since 2012. It's not all gone the way I anticipated. By now, we'd have had the whole world saved if I'd had my way. But that's not how God has led us. That's not how things have unfolded. Can I submit myself to his journey and his vision? Yes. And do we ask him for what's next? Yes. Can you lay down your vision for God's vision? Because your vision will lead to passion. Do you want your passions warring within you? Well, your vision's off. Go back to the vision, get the right picture. How do we get the right picture? Tell yourself the truth. What's the truth? What does God's word say? What is right and good? That's how I start to bring my vision into alignment with him. I need to wrap up this morning, and I'm going to continue talking about this idea of vision and passion and action this next week, but I just want to leave you with this thought. At the Tower of Babel, all the people united for a selfish cause, selfish vision. They were not envisioning what God wanted, what God's covenant with mankind was. They were creating their own vision. They want to build a tower and make a name for themselves, make themselves important. A whole lot of depth to that story. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Of course, God then goes and mixes up their languages. Only now are we coming to an age where all the languages are suddenly being able to do things together. And it is amazing. But here's the point. What can a unified group of people with vision do? God said nothing's impossible for them. My challenge to you is to find vision, godly vision. Vision for yourself personally. Visions for, it doesn't matter how old you are. Jason and I were talking this week. We've experienced as pastors, particularly himself, have experienced a lot of situations where you're sitting next to somebody on their deathbed. And one of the things that sometimes happens is when a person in that stage loses the sense of next, they give up and they die. They stop eating. And we all have to go. But I was thinking about our friend Marv Holmquist, who does all the coffee. You guys know Marv. He's been around forever. I think he was here before I was even born, just about. But he had a stroke, and he's up in Great Falls, and he's doing rehabilitation. And you know what? Jason told me, like, Marv likes cinnamon rolls. He likes sweet food. I mean, I don't think he has a real healthy diet. And he's not liking the hospital food. But you know what? He eats every bit. What does that tell me? He sees. He has hope for more. He's not giving up. He still visualizes himself moving forward. Not giving up. Don't give up. Ask God for what's next. Seek him for vision for you and for the community, because you don't do this without community. Would you stand, please? It's a little heavy there. A lot of selfish kind of talk there. But it's important to take the time to evaluate your vision. Does it align with God? Does it align with the scripture? But you guys, we can move the needle in this community. A rumbling that shakes lives, all from the power of God at work amongst us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give vision, that you don't just count on us to make up our own way, like choose your own adventure book or something. You actually have purpose for our lives. You have plans ahead that we want to align ourselves with and participate. You have fruitful things, days of harvest in our lives. Each phase of our lives, different places where we reap fruitful things. Lord, I pray for my friends today that you would help them to see, to lift up their eyes and see that you are with them, that you are holding their hand and leading them, just like Jason led me up here. And from time to time, you're wrestling them forward too. Lord, help them to see and know that you love them and that you have purpose ahead of them. I pray you continue to lead us and guide us in what we're learning in this. We pray for fruitful days ahead. In Jesus' name.